There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Marcus Brunzi here. Before we start today's podcast, I'd just like to let you know that you can vote for us in the Listener's Choice Awards at this year's British Podcast Awards 2019. If you'd like to vote for us, it only takes a minute of your time. Head to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. That's britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Type in How to Kill an Hour and then yeah, you'll have voted for us. It only takes a minute of your time and we'd really appreciate it. We'll also put a link in the show's description. Thank you very much in advance. And hey, here's hoping we win. Anyway, over to the podcast.
Are you serious?
So this is How to Kill an Hour, the show where we look at new ways to kill time. We talk about tech, gadgets, and just things that interest us. My name's Marcus Brunzi. I'd like to thank you in advance for killing time with us. Don't forget that you can sign up to our newsletter by going to howtokillanhour.com/news, where we will send you new ways to kill time and also give you little updates, just like the update that we sent out today, where we found out that if you go onto the Apple Podcasts app or iTunes and open it, you will see the How to Kill an Hour show in your face. Apple have put it front page, right in the center, because the episode with Jazzy Jeff was really, really good, and they think so as well. So yeah, head to the iTunes or head to the Apple Podcasts app and see us there. Tell your friends about it as well, man, because I think it's a big look for us. Anyway, today's show, I'm very happy to be joined. I mean, do I call you by your rap name or do I call you by your government name?
What do you feel more comfortable with?
I think it's fair to say that we got Shuffle T in the building.
Shit, boy!
Shuffle T! Yeah, aka Adam Woolard?
You know what? It's pronounced Woolard.
Woolard.
But every time I go to like do a stand-up set or anything, everyone always Woolard. And Americans find it hard to say like Woolard.
How do Americans? Woolard?
Woolard.
Woolard.
Woolard. It sounds cooler.
So I said Wellard.
Yeah, Wellard. I got that in school. And I was like, yeah, because I'm Wellard. And they were like, no, like the dog from EastEnders. And I was like, right.
Oh, shit.
That's not as good.
Do you not think that school nicknames are some of the most savage nicknames out there?
I think, well, in my school, they were pretty clever with it, right? Like, my surname is Woolard, and they broke that into two and called me Sheep Fat because there's wool and then lard. And I thought, you got to give them credit for that. Like, I don't mind being bullied by a bully of such high class who can come up with something like that. Fair play.
We were the absolute converse. At school for us, it was like there was a large guy in our class, fat boy. There's a tall guy, tall boy. There
Simple.
Was a white Aaron and a black Aaron. I'll leave that with you.
But you know where you stand, don't you? That's the point of bullying. You got to let people know where they stand. If you're tall, let them know.
There was a bronzy kid in my class and hey, look, he made a career out of it. So there you go, bruv. But we've got you on the show just to talk about quite a few things today. But one of the main things that we want to discuss is kind of how you've developed your rhyming skills in a way that I don't think anyone really has done in such depth in the past. So before that, like, let's talk about your background. Like, a lot of people know Shuffle T from Don't Flop, right? But for those that don't know, do you want to just give us the rundown of Shuffle T, how he came in the game and sort of kicked ass?
Yeah, boy. Well, I first started battling in about 2012. That was my first ever battle. It was a freestyle one. Me and Marlo, who I do the 2-on-2s with, we went to an event because we were like, we've been watching it for ages. We were like, we've got to actually go to an event at one point. And we got there. We didn't realize it was freestyle because usually it's all written ahead of time now, right? Since about 2008. And so this was a one-off sort of freestyle event and we got like super, super drunk. Just like we were so nervous about like seeing all these people we'd seen on YouTube and stuff that we just like had to drink to get some courage. And then Kruger, who's one of the co-founders of Don't Flop, came up to me and I'd been chatting to him some bollocks about being a rapper, even though I wasn't like really, I'd never done a track or anything. I'd just written with Marlo. And he was like, oh, we're one person short for the battle tonight. And it was genuinely like the plot of a shit film where they're like, oh, we need one extra guy. Hey, you up for it? I'm like, cowabunga. And so I was like, yeah, go on then, mate. Yeah, I'll do it. And then I went up on stage. I was the last one on. I went against a guy called Lefty, who then we later battled in the compliments battle, like about a year later. And he's still battling now. He's sick.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Can't wait to talk about that yet.
And I was just like properly shit. But I think people sort of thought it was tongue in cheek or whatever. I think the first line I said was, I'll take you to France and start making you dance. And then everyone for ages was like, oh, you're French. And I was like, no, I have no idea why I said that. I just want to take the guy ballroom dancing in Paris. So it was bad. But then they thought there was a sense of humor there. And so yeah. I just sort of like ran with that. And then I came back about a month or two later and did a first written battle. Against a guy called RS, and then it was just sort of like a snowball. It kind of carried on going, and it wasn't until about 2013 when we had the compliments battle, the 2-on-2 compliments battle, that we got a bit of notice,
got a bit of heat behind,
got a bit of heat.
So the compliments battle,
yeah,
like this sounds quite obvious, but it's really hard for you because you guys were kind of like complimenting each other,
yeah.
But sounding like you're dissing each other at the same time. How the fuck do you write something like that?
Well, it's the most fun you can have, really. Because, like, imagine just telling someone, like, you fucking love them. But, yeah, delivering it in a way that says you're going to punch them in the face. It's so much fun. But, like, the good thing about it is that it lends itself to comedy so easily that the jokes are sort of, like, amplified by the contrast of what you're doing. And so anything you say becomes a lot more funny than a regular battle.
And did you realize that you had this kind of comedy streak in you as well? Because a lot of stuff that you do, you will throw elements of comedy into them.
Yeah, absolutely. So like me and Marlo, when we were first like mates, we've been mates for about 10 years now. And since the first time that we got together, we were like making sketches, comedy sketches and that kind of thing. Mm. We were writing a lot of rap and we were putting like comedy into it, but we were trying to be serious because, you know, when you're young and you come into rap and you're like, I'm going to be the fucking best ever. Yeah, I'm going to smash this and that. And so there was a bit of that, but then we realized that our strengths were obviously in comedy and we had to sort of like put more effort into that. So it sort of went in and out throughout the, I hate to call it a battle career because that is so lame, but like the battle chronology, like it started off being like trying to be really funny and then it went to, oh no, I'm going to be serious because I want to be taken serious as a rapper for a little period. And then I sort of like tried to mix the two and then sort of came up with this thing where I was doing like concepts, like comedy concepts in the battles. So I would do like a whole round about, you know, acting out, meeting a guy in a coffee shop, for example, and talking about the guy who I'm battling, or like a whole round that's just like a phone call to my mum, things like that, where it's like you get to do the technicality of rap, but try and keep it funny. Because I was always trying to be careful not to like try and parody it. Because I really, you know, both me and Marlo, we really respect the battling and rap generally and the technique behind it. So we didn't want to look like we were coming in and taking the piss. We just wanted to have fun with it, you know?
Yeah. But you like, I was going to ask you like, what's one of your favorite pieces that you created within that? Because your style, I think yours and Marlo, like that you just said, you would pick a scenario that would be outside of the battle. Like a lot of people would be in the battle in that moment. Like, look at your hair, look at this, tearing someone up. But you'd be like, right, you wait there for a minute. I'm going to talk about a conversation I had with your mate or a random guy that just fucking hates you. And we just bumped into each other. We had that in common. And you start cussing each other. Where does that come from?
Well, it's weird, man. Like it definitely started when we were doing the 2-on-2s. Cause when we write together, we get a lot more creative and then that sort of bled into our 1-on-1s. But when we were doing the 2-on-2s originally, we were just like, what's the weirdest way that we can sort of show, I don't know, like our chemistry and show that we can like finish off each other's sentences and things like that. And then it just became like, well, a conversation would be funny, but it's funnier to have the conversation and like act it out. We both got a history of like acting, you know, like we did plays and we were doing sketches and live sketches and things like that. So we were trying to like get that element in there by doing a little sketch within the battle.
So in a way, you people were there trying to battle and you were there kind of just showing off your thespian skill set.
Basically.
So he came in there with bars, you came in with your Shakespeare, your method in.
Everything's in iambic pentameter.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just like playing to our strengths. We knew we had to do something like that. And luckily that kind of like worked for us. And that's what I think, you know, we don't know how many battles we got left in us, but if we do more, then they're all going to be like that kind of thing.
Well, you did one recently though, didn't you? You had a battle a few months ago.
Yeah, we had a 2-on-2 at the end of last year and I had a 1-on-1 about 2 months ago.
Yeah, what went down for those? I'll be honest, I've not seen the videos yet, so
dramas,
I want to check them.
Well, the one at the end of last year was in Germany and in Berlin, where there is like an amazing scene out there right now. Like, it's huge. There was like 1,000 people there, and it was like a really electric atmosphere and stuff. And the crowds are just like so on it. It's so sick. Unless you're rapping in English, in which case, like, there's the host said that probably about 50% would be able to like understand what we're saying, and a smaller percent than that would be able to like keep up with the speed that you do when you rap just generally. And so we're trying to like enunciate every word whenever we're like battling and stuff. But it was sick, man. It was a sick event. And yeah, it went really well. Like, it was against these guys, Henry Bauer, who's from, I think, Norway, and Nils Miskils, who's from Sweden. So it was a proper like mix of people in the room, and it was so much fun, man. And
Did you give them other prop? Like, did you give them extra props for like rapping in English, because that might not be the first language?
Nah, we took away props for that. we were like, it's not an excuse anymore. You've been rapping for a long time, like probably as long as we have in English. You can deal with it.
All right, fair enough. And like, I've always wondered as well, because I watch the battle raps, and I can see it in someone's face when you say something that fucking hurts. Like, it hurts them to the bone. Like, and then plus. Everyone around them, including some of their own friends, sometimes are going, fuck, oh, shit. Like, what's the climate like in the room after you've done your battle? Like,
that's quite an interesting question, because it's usually like immediately when the battle's done, like still on camera, first thing you do is shake hands with the other guy. You know, I don't think I've had a single battle where that hasn't been the case. And then, you know, a little hug or whatever. And then you probably go your separate ways, get a drink, maybe talk about it, and then everything's fine. Like, all right, cool. If anything, there's no room for any animosity after, because you've got everything you wanted to say out in the battle. That's why, like, we you know, there's, for a place that's so testosterone loaded, there's very rarely any fights in those events in the UK. There's like, if it did happen, then it'd be noteworthy. Happens a bit more often in the US, where there's like a lot more bravado and stuff,
and guns. Ego.
Yeah, and guns. Yeah, that doesn't help
in the mix.
But like over here, everyone's got their anger out, so like there's nothing else to say. We've said all other things, and then you kind of, because I've had a go at you as much as you've had a go at me, it's like, well, what's left to say? Let's just get on.
Has anyone ever been a little bit sore afterwards, though?
Yeah, I think so.
What's happened then? You have to name any names if you don't want to.
Well, there was one guy but I will name names. His name was Anton Murphy.
Yeah.
And he was a nut. He was on Big Brother one year.
All right.
And then he had a battle, and I think I judged it and gave him the win, but I did think he was a dickhead, but the other guy choked or whatever.
But you were fair though, right? That's fair.
Got to be fair, yeah, mate. Yeah, got to be fair in this day and age. And so I was like, yeah, he were. And then he started like coming at me afterwards for some reason on like Twitter and social media and stuff, being like, oh, I'd smash the shit out of you, blah, blah, blah. He was saying he's going to turn up with his goons. He did turn up with his goons. His mates were all like in turtleneck sweaters, the nicest guy I've ever met. Like, I was shaking nice hands goons. With him. I was like, how you doing, boys? You right? Yeah. And they were like, yeah, we're good, mate, we're good. And I was like, you're not intimidating at all. And like, so I genuinely had a dislike for that guy. And so after the battle, I still shook his hand, because I was willing to be like, come on, let's put it behind us or whatever. And the first thing he said was like, oh, they wanted you to win, mate. They wanted you to win. They're on your side. And I was like, well, why do you think that is? Because you're a nub, mate.
Because you're a dick. And then you roast him as well? You gave him a good roasting, yeah?
Yeah, I just called him I don't know how much we can swear on this.
Yeah, car crack on, bro.
I called him a cunt quite a few times in a row. I think I ran out of creativity towards the end of each round and just went for that.
You're a fucking cunt.
Yeah. Just said that a lot of times. But, you know, it works.
All right, cool. And when you tag team, you mentioned working with Marlo as well, the writing process. How do you divide it? Do you think about that before, or do you just flow like, right, I'll take a little bit of this chapter around this minute, these bars? How does it work?
It sort of varies. Like, usually we'll meet up most of the time at his house. He'll be sat down with the laptop.
And a beer.
Yeah. Obviously a beer. Sometimes a pizza if we're feeling cheeky, particularly cheeky boys.
Yes.
And then he'll be there with the laptop on his lap, and I'll be like sat next to him. And then we'll be chatting, and then we'll have an idea. And then I get up and start like pacing. And then we just sort of like go back and forth with like, oh, and then you could say this. And then we go on a rhyme scheme. Cause a lot of the time our rhymes, you know, usually it's four bars where you have the rhyme at the end of the line, but we like to do like,
you know, that also rhymed as well.
Yeah. Getting the line at the end of the rhyme. And then, but we like to have like 16, 32 bars where it's just all on the same scheme.
Yeah.
because that's fun to us to like just see how much we can rinse that rhyme scheme. And so we'll be going back and forth and suggesting ones and how we can work it in. But then sometimes at the end of like a session or whatever, we'll just take a big bunch and go, right, you go away with this angle, I'll go away with this one. We'll come together in a week and text each other throughout the time, and then we come back and see how it slots in with the other person's things.
Cool, so you work well together. What about a Marlowe Shuffle Tea clash head to head?
Oh mate, we've talked about it before. We've done loads of battles against each other, but they've all been like parody ones. Like there was one where I was a shoe, and there was one where he was a shoe for some reason. It was a Foot Locker. And then there was one where, sponsored by Oreos, where we were like having a lick race where we had to lick the Oreo quicker than the other person while battling them. That was cringy as shit. And then there was like the Bad Bars one, which was another one that got us a bit of got us known a little bit more, which was on the same day as the compliment one, where we were just doing like the worst possible bars we could do to each other.
Was that off the top, or had you written down?
No, we'd written.
You tried hard.
Yeah. We had to come up with some real tripe, you know. It takes effort to be that shit when you're this good. But we've talked about like if we were going to have like a final battle, it'd probably be me versus him. Because like, and a straight one, you know, no sort of like, comic. Well, it would be comic, but there would be no like slant on it. It would just be like, okay, right, let's say all the things that we can say.
So there'll be no wrestling kayfabe. This will be straight to the
this
real
would
deal.
Be, yeah, to the
and
bone.
And then after that, do you think you guys are just going to like coaching and not coaching?
Coaching battle rappers.
Yeah, coaching battle rappers, like judging and stuff like that as well. Or
yeah, I don't know. Like we always want to have like something to do with battling. And no matter how many times we've said, oh, I think this is going to be the last one, we've always come back to it and done something else. So like, I would never rule anything out, and we like going to the events and stuff because they are fun to be at.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like we're both sort of writing tracks at the moment, and sort of like coming up with comedy tracks to sort of have fun with, which I find difficult because I hate the sound of my voice on a beat. I'm just really rubbish on a beat. That's the strength of it being a cappella in the battles, is that you get to like decide your own rhythm. Mm. But when you've got a beat to go to, that's the kind of thing that you have to have been rapping for years and years, or just be naturally really good at.
Yeah.
And you know, I've been rapping for a while, but it's always been on a cappella, so I find it harder to write a beat convincingly.
Interesting, because a lot of people don't realize there's this massive difference in terms of the way you need to rap for battle rapping and the way you need to rap on tunes. Like we've seen some great battle rappers, you know, worldwide try and drop an album and everyone asks why it's pants. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But is it because there's such a different skill set when it comes to these two things?
I think a lot of the time is to do with the angle that you're going at it with. Like when you're in a battle, you know exactly what you're rapping about. You're rapping about the person in front of you. You can do your research. You can find this angle, this angle, this angle, this angle. But then when you go and do a track, not only have you got the difficulty of like the beat, which some people get and some people don't, and like flow and those kind of elements, but you've also got the idea that you can just rap about anything. And so a lot of people, when provided with the ability to rap about anything, end up rapping about nothing. And they're just like, they'll just talk and say the same thing over and over again that you've heard 1,000 times from different artists. And they, you know, a lot of the time if you hear someone with a concept track, that will probably be their best thing because they've got something to go on. Mm. You know, so I think that's one of the biggest issues that people get. They assume that if they can rap about one person, then they can rap about anything.
Yeah.
But they don't always cross over.
Is there like a legend in the rap game in the UK? Like who's apart from yourself, obviously.
Oh yeah, like, I was going to say me.
clearly. But you know, there's like, for example, you know, if you want to talk about a rapper that can do concepts and club tracks and has sold loads of records, you know, you've got like Eminem and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Two rappers like that. Who's like the UK versions of those?
What, in battle rap?
Yeah, for Don't Flop. Or is it just international? Do we not look at the UK's heavy hitters?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, we've got good, like, we've got people like Lunacy, who, yeah, I don't know if you know, but like, he's, you know, he's
Luna with a C.
Luna with a C.
Yeah.
And he's like an absolute legend in battle rap. He only did, I think he did fewer than 10 battles before he went on to like focus on his music. But his music's insane. He writes so good. He's so creative and stuff. So he's one of them. You've got people like Kruger and who both have like amazing tracks through their past as well. They were battling together. They don't battle together anymore. But like when you look at some of Kruger's stuff that he's done recently, it's really, really conceptual and really cool. Like this is his music. I mean, he'll do stuff like recently he just made a track where he just rhymes all the names of all the battlers that have ever rapped on Don't Flop, and there's like hundreds, and he's just spent months probably just going through this list and just finding the ones that rhyme together. Fuck. And it's insane. It's such like a big concept track. And then sometimes he's done a few where he's like playing a game of Rayman. You remember Rayman?
Yeah.
And he'll be like narrating it in rap, and it's so sick, and he'll do it over the beat of Rayman, and like, so that's proper inventive. Like he's one of the legends, I think, of doing that kind of thing.
So these are people that are pushing boundaries in
yeah. Right, yeah, I think cool. So, yeah. I'm massively influenced by Kruger. He's a huge influence on me.
Sick. So there's one thing that you hear a lot about in battle rap, right? Yeah. And we're going to talk about it quite a bit today because this is kind of what your book really kind of helps you with.
Mm.
Multis. What the fuck is a multi if I don't know what multis are? Because I just see like a lot of battle rappers are like, there's memes about people that don't rate multis. There's memes about people that do rate multis. There's like, oh, that multi, oh, the multis were amazing.
Yeah. See, I'm obsessed with multis, right, to an unhealthy level.
Okay.
Along with Jamie Blees Blackmore, the guy who co-wrote the book. We're both just obsessed. And what they are, basically, a traditional rhyme would be something like Cat and Matt, right, where it's just like, or even like Montserrat and Cat, where just the last syllable rhymes, right? And so when you say multi, what you're saying is multi-syllabic, like more than one syllable rhymes.
I struggle with just saying that word. So before we press record, I was like, you know, the multi-motherfucking things, you know what I'm talking about, bro.
The rhyme things. Well, like, the thing is with the multi, like, with the syllables that make up any word or phrase or idiom or whatever term, there's stressed and unstressed ones, or some people say masculine and feminine syllables. And those are the ones, the stressed ones are the ones that you put more emphasis on. So if I said Marcus, then Mark is the stressed syllable, and then the us is unstressed, like Marcus,
right. Yeah.
Bronzy.
Yeah.
Like bronze is the strong one, and then E is the little one.
Right.
Billy is like Bill, and then E. Yeah. So like what you need is more than one stressed syllable.
Okay.
That makes it a multi. So if we said Marcus Bronzy, that'd be Da Da Dondi, and you have to rhyme with that. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I should have planned this. But like, Charlotte Bronte.
Okay.
Charlotte Bronte and Marcus Bronzy.
Yeah.
Like, so you're rhyming only the stressed sounds, the R and R, and then the E because it's at the end. And they don't have to rhyme perfectly like cat and mat. It can be like cat and back, or cat, and even sometimes like yam, because all that matters is that assonance, the vowel sound in the middle, that's like the ah sound. And when you're doing it in rap, you know, sometimes if you take them out of context, you'd be like, oh, that doesn't rhyme, like Connie Huck and Donald Trump. Might not sound like it rhymes, but if you did it in a beat and you're like, Donald Trump, and Connie Huck, and Donald Duck or whatever, then it's sort of like the natural inherent rhythm of the term or the word that you're saying lends itself for the rhyme to come out. Do you see what I mean?
And that's the summary of multi-syllables.
That's it, in a nutshell.
So basically, you're saying within rhyme, there's this real complex rhythm that you're finding, and there's rules, but you can also bend these rules, like Neo from the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Much. Yeah, you can bend them. Like, you know, Eminem is like known for playing around with the way that sort of syllable sounds and when he rhymes. There's one track, I think, in the album that came out before last, where he rhymes toolboxes with screwdrivers. But it's because he goes toolboxes and screwdrivers. And so, like, he's known for doing that kind of thing. You have to be like confident as shit to pull that kind of thing off, or just like good. There's a level in which you can like kind of evolve beyond normal rhymes and just like play around with it, and like you have that artistic license. It wouldn't work if I did that, because I speak quite like, I rap like I speak, basically. So I don't have that natural sort of like ability to go into a rhythm and sort of like play around with it as much. But yeah, that's the thing. So like, if we were to take a shorter example or something, like if I said pint glass, then both of those are stressed, right? Pint glass. There's no like pint glass, it's pint glass. And so if you rhymed that with like
wife's
ass, there you are. That's bang on it.
My first multi-syllable.
Yeah,
there
bang,
you go. Yeah.
Bang. And then, yeah.
See where my mind is. I'm like, yeah, wife's ass.
Your wife's ass or someone else's wife's ass?
Everyone's wife's ass. Everyone's all the wife's ass. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's the IR, right. Like Hyde Park or White Hart or Die Hard or whatever.
Knife sharp.
There we go.
Learning this guy.
And then the second level of that,
yeah,
or what I'd think is like the evolved level of that is like when you only rhyme things that are self-contained ideas. So like wife's ass is good, but it's a bit vague. But Die Hard, we all know that's a film, so that's a thing. And pint glass, we know what that is, or wine glass, or Hyde Park. These are all like things that already exist. So then it's like, okay, I've got the sounds, I know how the rhyme's going to come out, I've got the rhyme part, but now I have to work on the the context. Like, how can I make this the most out of this rhyme? And then you get to, you know, getting like relevant rhymes, rhymes that have ideas that link to each other. There's a sentence I really like, have you seen the vacuum cleaner? And that's like a rhyme that's just like completely conversational and they're like relevant to each other. Or like, I'll say loyal to the queen until her royal jubilee, things like that, where it's like the ideas fit together so nicely, you might as well be speaking. It just happens to rhyme.
So level one is like these rhyme and these work together. So
yeah.
Then level two is like how these can work in a sentence. And I guess further than that is writing a whole concept or a story around using multis.
Making it like conversational, making it sound natural so that it's not like, because you get a lot of people who get multis, but then they get excited by the idea that they're good at it. And so they make these really long multisyllabic strings of rhymes.
But they just go off on a tangent.
But yeah, you're like, what the hell are you saying? Or they'll use words that they would never ordinarily say just to make it rhyme. That's, you get that a lot with freestyle because your brain like goes into panic mode and you just like, unless you're sick at freestyle, and then you just start like coming up with words that you'd never say, or like an order. There's this thing that a battler called Ilmac or Ilmaculate has talked about. He's from the States, and he says there's this thing with just, the word just, where like people will force in the word just to like fill out a syllable. So they'll be like, I'll go out to the beach and you can just I'll go out to the beach and now you just see that I'm out in this see or whatever, like you go, now you'll just see, but you'd never say that. You'd never say to someone, oh, now you'll just see that I'm out on the beach. Yeah. You just say, I'm out on the beach.
Unless you're Cornish. I feel that's like a really Cornish.
now you just see,
I'm out on the beach. Now you can just see I'm out on the beach. Yeah, but other than that, no one would fucking use that.
The only way you could say that is maybe if you're like an old person showing someone holiday photos and you go, now you can see I'm out on the beach. And they go, yeah, that's very good. Next, please. So maybe that context. Yeah. But, yeah, so it's about being natural with it, about like not forcing it. And Kruger's another one of those who's the king of that kind of thing. He just talks through it, and it sounds like it just happens to rhyme by accident almost.
Okay, because with like the power of knowledge, there's loads out there. It is easy for people to just find words, but you're saying there's still a finite skill set that you need to be able to sew these together in a way where there's a bit of narrative. And if you do that, then you're a fucking G.
Then you're the G. Cool. And that's the thing, like, you know, then you, when you get obsessed with it, like I am, and like, you know, a lot of people are, you sort of divvy things into what they call like columns or whatever, where you're like, right, okay, this rhyme scheme, I'm only going to rhyme with celebrity names. And then you have things like Mads Mikkelsen, Jack Nicholson, and Ann Widdecombe. And then you'll be like, right, that's just celebrity names. And then now I'm going to rhyme a different, you know, rhyme scheme that just rhymes on film names. So you're like looking for little divots of language where you're like, these, it just gets really specific is my point. I think like there was this one guy who used Horrible Bosses, Quantum of Solace, and Wallace and Gromit, and they're all like fiction, you know, films or whatever, you know. And so you can get like lost down a rabbit hole where you're like, right, I'm going to compartmentalize these rhymes into this section of ideas. And then you can like, the benefit of that, if you get really obsessed with it, is and you like doing something towards it, like a battle or a track, is that you've now got this wealth of rhymes where you've just made a list. Like they're not in bar form already. They're just a list. And then you go, right, I'll put that rhyme here. And then now I just have to link this rhyme to the next line and then build it up to a punch or whatever.
Feel free to rewind 10 minutes back in the podcast and listen to all of that again, because I'm going to do it a few times. I'm just about with you. So Ads, like you have all of these battles that you've done, you've got this comedy experience, you've done comedy writing with Theo as well.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about that in a bit. And when we had a couple of beers in the studio, actually,
yeah,
a few months ago, you were talking to me about this idea for a book, right?
Mm.
So talk to me about how you took all of these ideas and how you put them in the book. And I also want to discuss in a sec, like, how you've put things out in the book as well.
Because the formatting in that.
Yeah, because you've just mentioned lists,
yeah,
you mentioned groups and stuff like that. So yeah, talk to me about the book, man.
So the book is something I've been working on for about 6 or 7 years, and it's gone through so many different edits. So like, it's taken a long time because I started it when I was pretty shit at rapping, and then 3 years later I realized that and I scrapped a bunch of it, and then did it again and like, you know, worked on it and then got rid of a bunch again. So like, it's been something where I've wanted to get it absolutely right before I, you know, did anything with it. And I, like I said, I've been working on it with a guy, Blease, who I met in 2013 or 14 in Brighton. And he was as obsessed with that, this kind of thing as me. And we weren't really thinking about publishing it at this point. We were just writing it down, handwritten, writing it down into little moleskin books or whatever. And then after a while, more recently, it became like, oh, we'd like to have a copy of this. How sick would it be to just like get a copy and then just we would have it, you know, one each. And so we looked into the idea of doing that. It was quite expensive to just print one. And then we were like, well, what if we, you know, let's see if there's a market for it. How sick would it be to like publish it? And so we went to Unbound and they were interested in it. But the way that it's laid out now, now that we've been thinking about formatting and that kind of thing, is that it's half rhyming dictionary, half like a workbook. So each page is split down the middle or across the middle. Top half has got columns of rhymes and below is just like places for you to add your own rhyme schemes. But we only do 2 and 3 syllable rhyme schemes. So we don't go like, you know, we're not rhyming bibbidi bobbidi boo with Mission Impossible 2. We're just rhyming like 2 syllables like that, pint glass and white heart, things like that. And things like coffee cup, like da da da. So it's just like 2 types of multi.
In the first book.
In the first edition, yeah. But that's the thing, it'll never end. Yeah. But like what we had to do was we had to get a bit like scientific or like linguistic to figure out how it was going to work. Because like you say, how do you format it? Where do you start? Where do you end? What's in the middle? And so we, because like I say, this kind of rhyme mainly goes around like assonance and vowel sounds. We went through all the sounds that you can get in a vowel. And it turns out there's, I think, 17 or 18. And there are things like, you know, A, A, R, E, O, E, E. You know, it just goes on and on for 18. Ooh,
I was going to say, if somebody tunes in right now to this part of the podcast, it sounds like the most conservative porn ever. Oh,
yeah. Or that I'm having a stroke. One of the two. Both.
Anyone smell toast?
So like, then when we figured that out, we were like, well, how many combinations of those two sounds can there be for 2-syllable words? And so it was 18 times 18. I think it's 18. So that came out to about 324 or something like that. Then we're like, right, that's how many different variations of sound you can get in a 2-syllable word like this. So whether it's prayer beads or, you know, tree top or whatever, there's only 324 types of those.
All right.
And then when you're doing the 3-syllable ones, the middle one doesn't really count. When it's like coffee cup, it doesn't really matter about that E in the middle, like coffee cup, Donald Duck, like the U and E, they're not really that important because you know, you're not stressing them. And so it's the same for the 3-syllable one because it's just 2 stressed syllables. So it's the same as the 2-syllable one. You've just got a dead one in the middle. So it came out that there was about 650 rhyme schemes.
Shit.
And we put them into like alphabetical order, starting from like A and then like AA, then AA, do you know what I mean? And then going through those all through the vowels, as in A-E-I-O-U, through that order. And then we sort of got those grouped and we pretty much left it there because there was no need to like take it into like, here are some celebrity ones, here are some film ones. We just sort of put some of those in anyway, just to sort of like make it a bit more modern. Because when you look at a lot of rhyme dictionaries, the sort of monosyllabic ones, there's like, so there'll be like references to like scientific terms that you've never heard of, but it rhymes, so they've put it in. Or like, you know, obscure characters from like an Aztec myth. And you're like, well, how am I going to get that into a rap or a poem? Like, it's just, it's not feasible that I could use that. And the way they format it as well is so weird. Like, they're usually about 500 pages, but the second 250 pages is just like lists of words in alphabetical order. Which, you know, the first half is the rhyming dictionary and that's the index. So then if you were looking for the word like glasses, you'd have to look through until you find glasses alphabetically. But then that word that you're looking for might not even be in there. If you were trying to rhyme Christina Aguilera, you know, or let's say seal. Nah, not seal, because he would be there in under just normal seal. Yeah, yeah. But like Brad Pitt or whatever, then it won't have that because they're not taking into account things like, you know, celebrity names or film names or TV show names or, you know, things like that. And so we wanted to make it like current and up to date and get as many like celebrity names in there that fit and as many film names and TV shows and characters that are well known enough so that it was actually useful for someone writing rap or spoken word poetry and that kind of thing.
Okay. So this is going to be saving people a lot of time when it comes to writing. So, by the way, when's the book dropping? When can we expect it?
Well, the funding is going on for about five more months.
Yep. You're doing all right so far, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going all right. We're on 47%, I think, at the moment, which is pretty sick. And that's after just the first month.
Wicked.
So that's really good. And then when it's been funded, they'll be like, you know, they'll have to actually make it and, you know, publish it. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a little wait and then that'll be out, but I don't know exactly when.
That's unbound.com/books/rhyming-dictionary. We'll put a link to that in the show description so you can support that. You can get yourself a little hardback, a signed hardback.
Oh, yeah, mate, you got to have a signed one.
You know what? It's probably be cheaper for me to get the signed hardback here and then to get a train to you and get to sign it. there's loads of tiers of support. And like you said, you're 47% of the way there. And
yeah.
You're only a month in. So I look forward to it. Is that going to be, I know you can't see it because it's a podcast, but the picture that we've got of it, is that going to be the kind of front cover? Because that front cover does look pretty cool.
I think we are going with that. Like we might change the font in some aspects of it. Mm. That's just like just to have a visual thing for people who want to do it. But there'll probably be some changes to it. I don't know what they are.
Nice. All right. I really look forward to that, man.
Nice one, man.
I just want to run you through a scenario, though, and how you'd feel about it. So, a rapper who's not very good buys your book.
Uh-huh.
Or a rapper that's unknown buys your book, writes a hit album. how would you feel for starters? Proud, I guess?
Yeah. Well, I'd be proud. I think there's a few things there. Like, for one, I think if your aim with buying this book is to just like lift it and then put it on your own tracks, then I think you're probably a shit rapper.
Yeah.
I think what the book is, the reason it's half and half is so that people can get inspiration and then add their own ones and go, oh, he's missing this one, I'll add that in. And then they personalize it and make it their own thing. So like, I'd be proud, I'd be happy that it got utilized to such an extent, but I'd be disappointed in that rapper for not doing it, using it to its full potential.
And would you be able to hear if a rapper just licked a page off your book and slapped it on a track? Would you be able to hear it straight away? Would you be like, hang on, that's my Maltese?
Yeah, especially if you did it in the same order.
Sick. So basically what I'm saying is I may potentially get this book and just write a hit album, but
a brilliant advert that would be for the book. Just put the book on the front.
Put the book on the front. You call it Advanced Rhyming Dictionary. It's like, look, I don't know how to rhyme. By the end of this album, I'm going to be fucking killing it. Yeah.
But that's one of the interesting things is that like, a few people have said something like, if you buy this book, then what, you know, what's the point in this book? You're just going to give people the ability to just rap, like anyone can rap. But like, the thing about that is, if people thought about it, like I can't really rap and I'm the one writing the book. So it's not actually useful it's not going to make you a sick rapper. It's just going to give you an understanding of the type of rhyme that people are using. You know, that's the only purpose of it. There's so much more to rap than being able to rhyme, because otherwise, like I say, I'd be a sick rapper because I rhyme all the time. It's like my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's like we were saying earlier, it's about flow. It's about like the actual stuff that you're talking about, the content, making it sound natural, utilizing the rhyme to the best of its ability. Like all these things are much more important than rhyme.
Yeah.
Like in the same way that in poetry, a lot of poetry doesn't even, modern poetry doesn't even rhyme. It doesn't have to.
Yeah.
It's like formless. So it's like, there's more to it than just rhyming. This is just a tool to be used for like inspiration.
Yeah. Plus there are some rappers out there that just say shit that doesn't even make sense and it's a great track.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there are rappers out there that say some stuff. There's Cat and Hat rappers out there. I mean, there's rappers out there that say 1, 2, 3 into the 4 and I don't give a fuck. Rap the shit out of those tunes. I will sing those tunes in the club. You've kind of hit on a good point there, man. So could this book also just be bought and read just for a chuckle? Like, fucking hell, do you know Christina Aguilera rhymes with that? Is it kind of that sort of like around a dinner table having a laugh?
I definitely like the idea of it being used like that. Like the aspect of it being like a coffee table book isn't like a bad thing to me. I quite like the idea that, you know, people might get this in their stockings or whatever. Or if someone's like into rap, someone listens to rap all the time, they're like, oh, I got your rhyming dictionary.
Mm.
Then I think that's cool. Like, I don't think it necessarily has to be read by people who are like mad into writing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like a fun sort of like, you say, it's funny sometimes, like if you look at language like a puzzle, you know, there's all different ways you can solve that puzzle. There's like, you can write in prose, or you can write in like homonyms or puns or whatever, things like that. And then rhyming is just another one of those ways that you can like organize the puzzle pieces. And it is funny sometimes to see two people's names that rhyme. Like, I think it's funny that Scarlett Johansson and Ardal O'Hanlon rhyme. You know, the guy from Father
Oh,
Ted?
Shit, yeah.
I was like, what? I was like, they have no business rhyming together. Like, why are they, have they ever been said in the same sentence? You know, like things like that. Or like Kirsten Dunst and Sherman Klump from The Nutty Professor. Do you know what I mean? It's like, like, why do they rhyme? Well, there's no reason, but it's fun that they do. And then you go, oh, well, wouldn't it be funny to put those both in a bar and then work out how they can link?
Mm.
And it's like, well, that's like fun. That's just a fun thing to do, even if you're not that into rap.
Is your head like stuck in this mode of finding multi-syllables everywhere? Are you like walking down the street and being like, oh, tripped over a crack? Are you like that now?
Literally all the time. All the time. And I want to put it to good somehow. I want to do something with it. I've been trying to like, I've been thinking recently, actually, I said this the other day on a podcast as well, but like it's there's this way, I don't know if it's because I'm so obsessed with rhymes or whether this could be done by anyone, but if I rhyme something new that I've just learned, then I basically don't forget it. Like, I'll just remember it because when I go to remember that name or that thing that I'm trying to get, I think of the rhyme that I do know. Right, I'll give you an example because I'm explaining myself horribly. But like the other day, I was learning about Tony Pandy, the Churchill thing. And I knew I wasn't going to remember how to, you know, Tony Pandy. It's just a weird word. So I rhymed it with cotton candy. And now I can't forget it. And every time I go to think of it, I get, my brain automatically goes to cotton candy. And then I go, oh, Tony Pandy. And it's like Emily Davison, the suffragette who got run over by the horse. Like Emily Davison, Mesopotamian Emirates Stadium. Now I can't forget it because every time I go to Emirates Stadium and then I remember her name. And like I've got that. I've tried it with about 20 different people. Mark Gertler, Hard Worker. Lee Miller, Bee Killer. Theu the Trin, who was some obscure like 3rd century equivalent of Joan of Arc. Like Make You the King, like Theo to Trin, like all these ones. And I remember the things about them as well now, like the context around them. And I think there's a really interesting route there into like education and like mnemonics, because there's all these mnemonics that we use rhyme for already. But using a multi-syllable rhyme means that you remember the whole thing, not just like the end sound.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to it.
So it's the same techniques that we'd use to learn the alphabet.
Kind exactly, of like, yeah.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P.
Yeah, that exactly. Kind of yeah, so you're thinking, that could be a grime track in a day. L, M, N, P. What?
Yeah. So do you think you could, I mean, you're writing a book now. Do you think that you would ever do that then if there was like, I feel like you could teach memory or you could just learn like whole subjects. Would you ever do that? Like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Turn science into a fun ass subject, yeah. Writing about nucleic acid or cells or whatever, yeah. But making it rhyme.
Yeah, I think there's such a like a avenue for that. Like, you know, things like Horrible Histories have been doing like songs about topics like that for years. And I tried my hand at it a little while ago with this track I wrote about the monarchs from like 1066 to like 1200. And I realized that it made me remember like key dates and stuff. And, you know, again, this might just be me because I'm obsessed with it, but I'm sure there's a way for like kids to understand it and then get as interested in it. And like, yeah, I think like that's definitely the thing I'd want to do. I'd like to go around two schools with the book and just be like, you know, I'm going to give you this book so that you get the idea and we can talk through it and stuff. We'll have like a workshop and then you just take the subject you're working on at the moment and we'll just find a way to like rap about it because it makes it fun. The only thing you have to make sure is that it's not cringy as shit, because like the mixture of education and rap is such a like fine line of cringe to walk.
Hey kids,
yeah,
hey.
We're like standing back to back with someone else while I'm folded, like bopping up and down. Hey, let's get it cracking.
Forget that.
But like if you teach the kids to do it by themselves, yeah. Then that might be cool. If you teach the kids like this is how you rap about a subject that you don't find interesting at the moment or you find uninspiring, you rap about it, you rhyme about it, you might find it cool. And then you know, the fact that you've written something and then you record it and then you can keep it and listen to it, and you know, that seems like a cool way to learn to me. I would have loved that. I think.
Well, I look forward to the book, man. I look forward to the book. And I look forward to, I don't know, maybe I'll have a go at doing a little bit of rhyming. I would like you to do some sort of rhyme around How to Kill an Hour. I think that'd be great. Or is that too many syllables?
How to Kill an Hour. It's pretty difficult. You've got the owl sound twice, wasn't it? How to Kill an Hour. Yeah, leave it with me and I'll see what I can come up with. Also, chat.
Wicked. We're playing that in a future. Oh, in today's show. Okay, cool. I was like, thinking in a future episode, we'll play a little clip from Shuffle Tea.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
But you're also quite skilled at comedy writing as well. Like, that's a thing that I think there's another audience of people that have seen your face outside of Don't Flop and recognize you from that, because you did some writing until you, like, you know, recently moved on to write the book. You were writing quite a lot of content yourself and yeah. Theo writing stuff for The Hook mainly, which is a massive Facebook page.
Yeah.
So, like, your comedy writing, I think that's quite interesting as well, because I think you're in a space that's quite niche as well. Like, I think you find quite interesting points to kind of touch on. So, like, let's chat about that. Like, what's some of the stuff that you've enjoyed writing over the last few years?
We've written loads of stuff. We've written so many for The Hook because we were both like employed by them to like, you know, write and create stuff. And there was a load of sort of like really fun things to do there. We were doing a lot of topical stuff. Like, as soon as something happened in the news, the biggest success I think we had, like just me and Theo there, was when Brangelina broke up. This was years ago. And then we did this this video about people just looking really sad about it and then just talking about how little of a shit they gave that it happened. Like, you know, I just don't give a shit. And it's just so exhausting to just see this everywhere. And so that was fun. But then the stuff we have most fun with is the more surreal stuff that we write outside and stuff. We wrote something a little while ago, which is just the weirdest idea we'd come up with our friend Patrick Spicer, and who's a comedian, really funny comedian, stand up. And it was just like, it was this weird idea where, like, he came round to my house for dinner one day as a mate, and then I see him a week later and there's like a review of the dinner in like The Sun or something, and I'm just like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh no, that's weird that that's come up, like, that's wild. And he's like, and I'm like, look, this was clearly you. And he's like, no man, no, it's not. And then, like, it turns out that I wrote the review about myself as, like, a test. And it's so weird, man. But, like, we like that kind of weird stuff where it's just like, where is this going? And we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you did do some quite interesting stuff that was topical. One of the ones that I think you've done it twice, I think, was the end of the year, the funeral for the end of the year. Because now in the days and age of the internet, it's like there's a new meme every month.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like you cap off the end of the year by reminding us of the most ridiculous shit that's on the internet. Crazy. Was it two? You've done it for 2 years in a row?
Did it two years in a row. I think the last one we did was for the previous year and the previous year before that. And it's worth watching just for Theo or Marlo doing the gun sounds from Big Shaq. He's like, he practiced it and practiced it and practiced it, and then he smashed it on the day. It was so good.
Sick.
But yeah, those are so much fun to write, because, like, it's quite interesting to look back over the year, because you forget, but by the time you get to December, you're not thinking of the memes that were out in January, because that's the nature of them. They come and go, you know, most of the time. And so, like, it's really interesting looking over the year and seeing how this weird world of, like, meme culture is developing and changing all the time. It's quite an interesting one. I really like meme culture. It's really fun. My dream is to come up with a decent one.
To be a meme.
To be a meme or to make a meme.
To make a meme.
Yeah, a meme come true.
It's one of the... Oh, nice. That's like
a meme.
That sounds like a film, basically. A meme come true. Yeah. But isn't that like... I think when I think about memes, I think they're great. But also, a lot of the time, because of the viral nature of the internet,
yeah,
people that make some popping memes never get paid. Like, yeah. There's some people who've made memes we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you're never going to get a dime for it. There is yeah. no way. It's not like a track. A track, you can be like, right, sign me. I'm going to take you on tour. You can't take your memes on tour.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a sick job, though, just going around with a PowerPoint presentation, just going, look yeah. at that in front of like the O2. Look at that. And they're like, woo! Yeah. The best of. Now, that's what I call memes.
A concert of memes coming up. A bit of time in the studio with this one.
Pop. That'd be sick, actually. You know, yeah. that could be a cool yeah. thing. Do like a TED talk
on memes.
Sort of, yeah, or just, you know, don't even say anything. Just click new meme. I'd go to that. I think
I would as well. I'd enjoy it only if it was nice and edgy. I like me an edgy meme.
You like an edgy meme,
yeah.
You,
yeah. Or the time. That. It's the timing of a meme as well, man. They're great. Anyway, I think GIFs on Twitter are my favourite form of memes. Like when someone responds to a whole tweet, whether it's an argument or a conversation or a statement, they just say in one GIF, and it's like if a picture means 1,000 words, then a GIF means 1,000,000. Mate. I fucking swear to God, it's amazing. But you know, do you think sitting down when you're because you're there quite a few days of the week at the hook, working constantly, churning out comedy? Yeah. Do you think kind of being in that churn of just make something funny, that kind of made you a bit more fluent with kind of taking an idea and creating something? Because you were making stuff every single week. It was important, yeah. like Brangelina splitting up. You had to make that and turn that quick as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That also rhymes, but that was not deliberate. Cool.
It was sick to like go in every day and be like, right, what's the thing we're making? What's like, and it did make us much better at like coming up with things in a time limit. Yeah. And like, it basically was helping with production.
Yeah.
And time management and that kind of thing, which was and still is really useful and helpful. And I write much quicker as a result of it, like the writing process specifically. And now, like the other day, like I was chatting with a couple of friends and we came up with an idea for a short film and it was like, you know, trying to be like 20 minutes. And I think I wrote it in like 7 hours, whereas before it would have been like a week of going off and coming back to it. And then like, so obviously it's only a first draft, but like it's all about, that's what it's all about, getting it written. My dad always says, get it written, then get it right. Like get it written, get the first draft so that you're like, right, it's basically done. Now let's just like finesse it. Let's just, you know, take out this scene, put this one in. Finesse it. And that was the problem I had before going to the hook, was like I would start something, be happy with the first 5 pages, show people, and then they'd be like, yeah, cool, good 5 pages, where's it going? And I'd
no
be like,
well,
I'll finish it later, but aren't these 5 pages sick? And they're like, yeah, they're fine, like what do you want from me? You have to complete it, you have to do it.
Did your dad write then as well? Does he write?
Yeah, he writes now. Like he started off when he was like 20 as being like a runner for like film studios and stuff like that, and he like over years and years and years worked his way up to, he was a model maker for films and he worked on things like Harry Potter and Star Wars and that kind of thing. He's had a pretty sick life. And then he's like 57 something now, and he's getting around to like he's written a couple of his own scripts for shows and like film ideas and stuff like that, so it's kind of in the blood, you know.
Okay, does he ever look at your script and go, yeah, I'll take that scene out, bruv. Punchline's all right, but it's not really punching. Is he like that? Is he privy to your stuff, or do you just show dad like, this is what I've done?
I show him everything, and he's pretty supportive. Like sometimes he's like, I don't get it, but I'm sure when you do it, it'll be fine. Like
that's all parents. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, put that on the Twitter. You put that on the Instagram. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when he's, yeah, he's more into the battles.
Is it?
Yeah, him and my mum got well into the battles for a while. They started obviously just like watching me and being like proud parents, and you know, because I'm on the net, and that must be a big thing these days. And then they were like, they were going, oh, I don't really get what he meant when he said this. And I was like, oh, that's a reference to this battle. And they were like, oh, okay, well, watch that one and then go back with a fresh eye. And then they were like watching a bunch of different ones, and my dad was like referencing people back to me who like, I didn't know.
So your dad is copying the don't flops when they come out, and he's getting in there.
He was on it. He was on it big time, Styly. But it's an interesting one though, because like my grandparents have no idea what it is I do. I think they think I can't remember what they thought I was. I think they basically think I'm a poet, which is fine. Like, I'd prefer them to think that than a rapper because I think they don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So like that was, but my granddad did think my rap name was Wanky
Doo. Your dad must have been fucking around. Surely your dad was like,
no, my granddad.
Yeah, yeah, but your dad must have told him like, oh, right. it's Wanky Doo.
Wanky Doo, mate. Yeah, go on.
Wanky Doo.
Wanky Doo.
Where'd that come from?
I've no idea because I wank a lot, maybe. I mean, I get it, you know, play to your strengths, but yeah, it's just not my name.
What's he doing? Oh, you know, he's having a little wanky do.
He's having a wanky do, isn't he?
Yes, adds typical wanky do.
With a bulging right arm. Hey, baby, I'll be right back.
Anyway, bruv, look, thanks for coming on the show today, man.
No worries.
I think, once again, let's get that link up. And we'll put this in the link in the show description as well. Make sure you go to the Advanced Rhyming Dictionary, unbound.com/books/rhyming-dictionary. You can pledge and get your hands on a copy. I think I might go for the signed hardback.
Juice!
I might go for a signed hardback.
Go for the $2,500 one.
What's that one there?
It's like businesses, more for businesses, but, you know, I'm sure you can...
Spend the day teaching me how to write and perform battle rap.
Yeah, you got
special thank you. Fucking hell. Do I get snacks for that price as well?
You'll get Pringle, one tube of Pringles.
And for that, I also get a live battle rap.
Yeah.
Where you'll turn up to my... Oh, I'd love that if you just turned up and started rinsing someone on their fucking birthday. That would be sick. You ever thought about just doing that? Just turning up, somebody giving you a whole load of facts about somebody and coming into work and cutting them to shreds.
I would love... You know, we did that at a wedding.
Really?
Yeah, me and Marlo did it. We were two weddings now, but the first one was like recorded. It's on Don't Flop's channel.
Yeah.
And the bride... to be gave us a bunch of info, like pages of info on the groom, and we just came in and he was like, what the fuck? And we just like basically just after the ceremony just started ripping the piss out of him for like 10 minutes straight.
That is sick.
Then we stayed in their honeymoon suite. It was so sick. It's like the best day ever.
Wait, he fucked off. He was like, right, yeah. Fuck this.
As a repayment, here is my bride. Thank you. That's odd.
Also, Instagram, where can people find you? Because you've got this character on Instagram. I don't know what you would call him. There's a very smiley, giggly character who flicks his hair around a lot. Has he got a name?
He doesn't actually. He's just a lame...
He's Wanky Doo.
He's Wanky Doo.
Wanky Doo. Yeah.
He's like an influencer. He does Wacky Wednesdays and things like that.
Yeah.
I just hate that kind of thing, but love making it. And that is... you can find me at ShuffleT1.
Yeah,
on Insta or Shuffle_T on Twitter.
Nice. Facebook as well, is that Shuffle T? You just down as yourself.
Well, it's just me, man. I want to keep it real on Facebook, you know. But there is a page for the book, which is called the Advanced Rhyming Dictionary for Rappers and Poets. So if you want to follow that, then please do.
You got some cool challenges that you throw up on there as well, which we won't talk too much about. But I reckon go on there. There's some great challenges you can get involved in that involve rhyming and skills like that as well.
Yeah, man.
And there's also a rhyming game that you're telling me about. I don't want to play it today because I'm shit at rhyming like this. But is this a game that you just play in life, or is this part of the book, or is this something that maybe could become a little game on the side?
It's part of the book, really. But like it was just because we had the book already handwritten for ages, sort of at least mostly handwritten. We would go around to parties and just be like, right, I'm going to give you a rhyme scheme and you got to guess the next one. And I'll give you a clue and then you get the, you know. I want to make it into like a card game or something.
That's a fucking book. That's a game. I mean, that's a game.
That's a book and a game.
That's a book and a game.
It's a
game book. Shit. All right. Well, we need to find an Unbound for games. That's what we need to do. Yeah. Anyway, now, thanks for coming on the show, Shuffle T, a.k.a. Wanky Doo, a.k.a. Adam Wellard. Or was it, Woolard?
Sheepfat,
Woolard. Wellard.
Lamb, you went to say.
Like me a bit of lamb. This has been How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy. Thank you for killing time with us. Just before we let you go, don't forget howtokillanhour.com/news is where you go to be added to our mailing list. Before that though, hit subscribe if you haven't. Let a friend know about How to Kill an Hour in case they haven't seen us on the front and center of the Apple podcast app or iTunes with Jazzy Jeff. What? Anyway, yeah, thank you for killing some time with us.
You can vote for us in the Listener's Choice Awards at this year's British Podcast Awards 2019. If you'd like to vote for us, it only takes a minute of your time. Head to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. That's britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Type in How to Kill an Hour and then, yeah, you'll have voted for us. It only takes a minute of your time and we'd really appreciate it. We'll also put a link in the show's description. Thank you very much in advance. And hey, here's hoping we win.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.